RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where, man, you would think, like, at least from a national level, on a day where the best player in basketball, it was revealed that luckily he did not tear his ACL, but he has hyperextended knee and he'll be out for at least a month, and Nikola Jokic would be, like, the top national story. But then, here come the Diggs family, and, you know, good luck if you're third, Joker. So, Stephon Diggs, as we talked about earlier, I know, got to turn on, leave it on, faces strangulation and assault charges. His arraignment is set for January 23rd, which is the Friday before the AFC Championship game. But fear not, because of the way our judicial system frequently works, I bet if the Patriots are in that game, they'll magically be able to move that date. So there's that. And then more locally focused, we get the news that the Cowboys are releasing Trayvon Diggs now, which will give him the opportunity, claimed or unclaimed, which I don't think that's as big of a deal as it usually is when a player gets waived, because you have no guaranteed money after this year and you're just essentially looking at the last week. But then again, if it meant like a couple $100,000 more from my bank account, maybe I would think it was a big deal. So maybe that's what the Jones family thinks. But he has been waived with the potential for him jumping on another team. Like, we talk about it, the Jags, Patriots, and Bears immediately jump to mind for a variety of different reasons. And so now he's out, and yeah, it's been a lot of happening, and hopefully we've brought you all the latest and greatest information, and I know that the G-Bag Nation will continue to do that. So we're going to fire up some NFL overreaction or reality, and I guess it only makes sense to start with this question. Overreaction or reality? Even if the timing is weird, you're glad that Trayvon Diggs is no longer part of the Cowboys.
I'd say reality. I wanted to get past this in either way. But again, the timing is all weird. But I knew the divorce was going to happen at some point. I just wanted the headache to be done.
Do you need me to stall for some time for you?
Yeah, because
I can definitely do that.
We're about to have Jane Slater of the NFL Network on.
Because look, here's the thing. There's three people here right now. One is trying to get the phone call set up. The other one is trying to actually answer the phone and get them on air. And so when I looked over at Alec and he said something back to Jacob, I was like, uh-oh, I might need to filibuster this thing. All right, well, I'll take it strictly from the financial aspect if we're going to go ahead and go back to this. So moving on from Trayvon Diggs would mean you would take the entire dead cap hit right now. That's 5.8, or I guess next year, 5.8, 5.9 million. But his cap hit was going to be 18.4. So you're still going to come away with a savings about $12.5, $12.6 million if you care about the finances of it all. But I'm guessing that's probably not what people are focused on. So let's bring on from NFL Network, it is Jane Slater. Jane, how the heck you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Man, it's been a crazy day, and it's been a crazy day for the Diggs family, has it not?
So, true story, I was up in Vermont visiting my brother and sister who just moved up there, and they just had a massive ice and snowstorm. My cell service wasn't working. So for the first time, and I think since I got into this business, I was truly disconnected. And I was actually going to make a call up to New England on Trayvon's behalf, and I just heard about Stephon. So, I don't know if I'll be making that call now, but that's true. That's all just been happening in real time in the last 30 minutes.
So it feels like one of the things we've been talking about, the timing of this Trayvon Diggs move feels odd, but then there's other people who think it's kind of a opportunity for Diggs to maybe pick up with a playoff team. What is your take, or what have you heard about this?
So I'll pull the curtain back a second. As I told you, you know, I'm coming back, I'm tapping back in after being gone a few days, and I get a text message. I'm getting ready to go to a hair appointment, and it's from Trayvon, and he just writes, "Thank you, period. They just released me, period." And I was like, oh my gosh, did me putting out the stuff about the TV, or did it create waves for him? Did me talking to him in the locker room, and he just kept saying cover two was a problem, and I felt awful. Like, yeah. Did I contribute to this? And so I immediately called him, and he said, no, like, I'm good, I'm happy. And I was like, really? And he's like, yes. He's like, I'm healthy, you know, hopefully another team picks me up. And I think the reason why I'm sharing that with your audience is it had just gotten to the point where it wasn't working for both parties. And so, you know, what are you going to do? Have a guy hang around a facility that knows you had a team that really kind of the distrust, I think, started when he trained away from the facility. Remember this summer?
Yeah.
And then they chose to fine him, which I don't remember them doing that to a player before Trayvon. And so, you know, they're trying to work him back, and then it's just Murphy's Law. Anything that could go wrong did with the corner situation. And they're still not playing Trayvon.
Did you think the situation was broken then, going all the way back to the rehab and the fine, and they've just been trying to figure it out, but it was always going to be broken from there?
I think there was some elements of it, and I'm sure it didn't help that when, you know, Micah was frustrated and that was Trayvon's guy. I just don't know if the optics were there. And I will say this about Trayvon, and you know, I don't think I'm saying this to be inappropriate here, but he does have a sensitivity to the opinions of people on the internet, and I can imagine around the facility. And that doesn't make him a weak guy. That doesn't make him a terrible guy. It's just he does care. And I think a lot of that noise, and even when I would listen to certain, not just you guys, but radio shows I'd see on the internet, it started taking a real personal turn. I think people forget that these guys are humans, and I think that's always, wow, woe is me. You know, I could put up with people saying things about me for $30 million, $40 million a year, but no amount of money makes you feel good about yourself when everyone's just telling you you're trash, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that in combination with a defense that never suited his talents. I mean, when he was drafted, he is a see ball, get ball guy. And, you know, and I've heard a couple stories even on the defense right now as it relates to the Cowboys. You know, it's my understanding every week they're being told to do something different.
Wow.
Eberflus is. And you're mixing it up a bunch. You've got young guys learning on the fly. Think how many new pieces you've played on that defense this year, whether it be at corner, whether it be at ends, whether it be at tackle, whether it be at linebacker. And when you've got that stuff going on, it's really hard to have cohesion. And, you know, one pushback I got was, well, DeMarvian Overshown learned to cover too. Yeah, but for all the years that Trayvon's been, you're asking someone to learn a completely different skill set. Now, my argument back to Trayvon was, you just got to learn it. You know,
right.
There's parts of my job that I don't love, right? But you do it because that's the expectation. But I think there were limitations coming back from, obviously, the injury. And then I think there were limitations based on what his skill set was. And so, you know, my biggest question when this whole thing happened was, why now? You know, because the money, you got to follow the money, right? Like, it just seemed like it would have made more sense for them financially to get rid of him post June 1. But that's why I feel like the Cowboys were trying to help him out a little bit. And then, you know, he's the one taking the hit, if you think about it. When we look at the numbers, I just put this out. He'll count as $8.5 million dead cap money in 2026. The Cowboys will now owe him $0 cash. Zero. A post June 1st cut would have saved $4.25 million cap money in 2026. In other words, it's beneficial for the Cowboys to move forward, and it's a clean break for Trayvon that might have to suck it up a little bit, but there could be a market for him as a third or fourth corner on a team making a postseason push and an opportunity for him to sort of rewrite the narrative about who he is and whether he still wants to play football. Because talking to Trayvon, he does. It's just, and I know I don't want this to sound like, you know, I'm his PR team or whatever. He doesn't have an agent right now, by the way. And so that, I think, has also complicated some of this. I think an agent, when the whole TV thing fell on his head, I'll be honest, guys, when I first heard it, I was like, that is such a lie. And
yeah,
he's hurting his team. They need him to play. And so I was kind of annoyed with him because I was like, man, if he was my teammate, I'd be pissed. And so, and I had heard some of the crazy stuff out there on the internet, right? And one made sense to me, and I'll just be honest, it included a poll. But when I went up to him in the locker room 2 weeks ago, I just straight up said, what's going on with you? And he said, what do you mean? I go, how did you get concussed? And to be fair, it's none of my business. He could have told me it's none of your business.
Right.
But he said a TV fell on my head. And I said, that doesn't make sense. And I was like, I'm trying to help you here. But I was like, do you realize how absurd that sounds? I go, let me tell you what I heard. And when I told him the pole version story, he said there was a pole. He was like, it was a pole hanging from the ceiling for the TV. He goes, I'll show you a picture of it. And I was like, wait a minute. I don't think anyone even just asked him to explain it. And I'll tell you guys this. He immediately went home after practice and sent me a photo and a video of that setup. And when you look at it, that makes sense.
But, you know, you mentioned it. There are a lot.
But the team's not going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, sure. And, Jane, do you think, you mentioned he had a sensitivity to him, and as we all do you think that the combination of Micah getting traded, but also do you think maybe he lost a sponsor in the locker room when Al Harris departed for Chicago?
Absolutely. And it was my understanding that guys like Micah and Trayvon, they wanted Mike Zimmer to stay around. Now, to be fair, you guys, let's not rewrite history. They weren't exactly on board with Zim when he started. Remember?
Yeah.
It was Micah who said, well, he's going to have to adapt to me. And I found that. I was like, good luck with that. Like, I know Zimmer well. But when he didn't come back, it was my understanding the thought was Zim was coming back. And then a lot of them found out on the internet that it was going to be Eberflus, where a lot of the offensive players were kind of asked about Schottenheimer, but that one made more sense to me that you would include the locker room, right? Because Schottenheimer hadn't been a first-time coach yet, but he had been their OC, and I knew the guys really liked Schottie. So it made sense that they'd want to ask the offensive players about that versus their defensive coach. Now, I could be wrong. They could have gone to defensive players and asked about Eberflus or Zim. And
so here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
And maybe I just haven't talked to that person, but the people I've talked to said they were never asked about who would make sense as a coach.
And just because you're used to the circus atmosphere that sometimes comes to this team, I threw out there that I can't totally rule out that the Cowboys made this move now because nobody was talking about them going into the last season and into the last game of the season.
I actually don't agree with that.
Okay.
I mean, I could see why you would think that. I just think it had become a situation where the one thing that we've killed the Cowboys for, and I think that they've gotten better at this year, was I had always argued, why do you wait on contracts with CeeDee Lamb? And I, as it was explained to me, you know, it takes two to tango. And at the time, Tory Dandy's agent was at the Olympics. And so while they were trying to get in touch with them, they weren't always getting as much feedback as they wanted from the agent and CeeDee. Okay, so that's fine. I'll move on from that. See, the problem is you have to ask questions. And I think a lot of people don't ask questions. So it's easy for us to speculate on things. And then as it relates to this situation, you know, if they had dragged this thing out till post June 1st, that affects how you draft. That affects if you're going to keep Eberflus or not, schematically what makes sense for us from a personnel standpoint.
Yeah.
Because from a personnel standpoint, it didn't seem like they had the pieces for what made Eberflus's defenses good. And by the way, go look at his defensive numbers in Chicago. They were good.
Yeah. Well,
and so everyone wants to, you know, point the finger at Eberflus or point the finger at Diggs, but that's what I keep telling people. There is a nuanced, layered effect that's all going down here. So where I'll give them credit is they're deciding to move on from something that was clearly not going to work next year. This allows Trayvon to go hopefully find a new start, treat the demons in his brain right now. Because I don't know about you guys, I've been in places where they didn't want me.
Yeah.
They didn't think I was good. I didn't get re-upped. And then I would go and shine somewhere else. Like, you've got to find that place for you to be successful. So I recognize and I see that with him. And then when you look at the money, it's like, yeah, it's kind of sucks about the money situation. But if he had an agent, maybe this thing could have been different. You know, but this is, I think, good for the Cowboys and good for Trayvon in the long run. And I don't think that it has to be contentious or drama. I actually think the Cowboys have made a good decision here because I see that they're trying to make moves earlier than putting themselves behind the eight ball.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you. And you mentioned asking questions. We are going to have Jerry Jones on Friday. So we will try to ask as many questions about all of this scenario as possible.
Well, and here's the questions I would ask him. I don't have the Cowboys. I've got Texans and Colts this weekend. I've covered a few teams this year, so I haven't been on the Cowboys as much. But I would ask him why the consideration post June 1. I would ask him, if Eberflus isn't your guy, how much of a consideration are you going to make towards personnel and scheme? I mean, I think that has to be the big question, because I think I saw this with Mike Nolan. Remember, Mike Nolan came in and put together this exotic defense that I joked was so exotic it was on another island, but you implemented it during COVID and you were teaching it online. That's hard.
Yeah. No, you're right about that for sure.
And so they forced a change in the defensive scheme. And so I think they need cohesion. And that's why I would not be shocked if Eberflus were to stay. But they did a better job of finding the personnel that makes sense. And fans may not love that, but I also don't think it's fair to look at Eberflus and straight up say this was a complete failure. Although I would argue the last 2 weeks when you've had some healthy players out there, it would be easy to say that, but I just don't think some of these players fit the scheme.
Yeah.
And then the argument then is, well, then adjust your scheme. But it sounds like he's been trying to do that to some extent. I mean, the five-man defensive front was one of those changes, which, by the way, it was working there for 2 weeks.
And outstanding information, as always. I know you're super busy. Thank you for jumping on and getting us the info from Trayvon as well. You're the best, Jane.
You guys are the best. I hope you had a good holiday.
Absolutely. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Jane Slater from the NFL Network. Coming up next, I don't know what the hell we're going to do. I kind of want to say NFL overreaction or reality, but we might have another special guest. You never know what's going to happen. But something will happen next right here on The Fan.
Hurts in the gun. Goddard sets up right. Back to throw. Checked out. Over the middle. Intercepted by Diggs. Right sideline. 30. Diggs 20. Diggs house.
KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where Trayvon Diggs has been waived by the Dallas Cowboys. We're going to talk about a few other things, but also mix in the Cowboys as we navigate the NFC East. Always choose your own adventure in the NFC East. Would you like to start with the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Commanders, or the Giants? And yes, that means I've made the bold decision to move the Tuesday tailgate to another day, which is confusing.
The Wednesday whalegate.
Carter would love that.
Yeah.
I'll text him.
That is right up his alley.
All right, which team would you like to start with in the East?
Ooh, I like the Corey method and Mike method of you got to go with the leader right now. Let's start with the Eagles.
All right, so the Philadelphia Eagles, a lot of people are caught up on the two-point conversion that won them the game against Buffalo. But the week before, they had a two-point conversion during garbage time that started a brawl. Three people were ejected. Six people got fined. And the total of those fines, $70,048.
Wow.
So there's that. All right. Let's talk about how the Eagles win games, because it remains perhaps the most fascinating thing in the NFL.
100%.
The Eagles, I do kind of wonder, are they going to get eliminated because they continue to be a one-half team? There are halves of football that the Eagles put together, like the first half against the Buffalo, and you're like, they're the best team in the NFL, for sure. And then you get the rest of the game. Philadelphia gained 16 total yards in the second half. 13 of those yards came on their first drive of the third quarter, so think about that. After their first drive in the third quarter, they had 3 yards for the rest of the game. They punted on 5 consecutive possessions. And you're like, oh, that's not good. Is it not good? Because Philadelphia also improved to 9-0 this season when Jalen Hurts throws for fewer than 200 yards. So you're like, hey, I want my quarterback to throw for 200-plus yards. That's great. But that does not seem to be the Philadelphia Eagles' path to victory.
That is always the most intriguing offense in football to me, is the one where you say, I don't want my quarterback to pass for a ton of yards because that means we are losing games.
Right.
And that's what it felt like for me, and I talked about it a lot. The last 2 years of Mike McCarthy here in Dallas, it was like, if Dak is throwing for north of 300 yards, you probably lost that
game
because you were playing from behind. And that's when Mike McCarthy starts scheming open some good looks for his receivers, finally.
Right when we needed it.
Exactly. Right when it matters the most. And it feels like some of those playoff games, you know, like the embarrassing 49ers loss. It's like, yeah, they start piling up when it's too little too late. So for the Eagles offense, it's almost, it's like I talk about with the Kevin O'Connell offense that he's been running for a couple years now with Minnesota, is, and Kyle Shanahan, especially in San Francisco, the don't screw it up offense. You do what you are asked and nothing outside of that, and we will find a way to win the game. If you do too much, you're not good enough to do too much. Josh Allen is good enough to do too much.
Right.
Patrick Mahomes is good enough to do too much. Heck, even this year, Drake May is good enough to do too much on a given play. But you are not, and that's okay. And it's what good football teams do.
It is. They also get a lot of sacks with minimal pressure. The Eagles had 5 sacks in Week 17, all with a 4-man rush. So, look, we feel like Cowboys could rush 6 people and still not get a pressure.
Must be nice.
The Eagles are quite the opposite. Do you want to go with the Cowboys next?
Sure.
Now, the Cowboys need a win in this game to get to 8-8-1. I don't know if people realize this. I have to admit, I didn't realize it until like a week ago. If they lose to the Giants, this will be the first time the Cowboys have had consecutive seasons with a losing record since 2000 to 2002. Because we had so many of those 8-8 seasons, and then the Cowboys special for a while was hey, show some life, get to the divisional round of the playoff or whatever, or win your division and then be sub 500. So this would be, it's been almost a generation since they had back-to-back losing seasons, which is good, but also when you realize there's been no playoff success to go with it, you're like, eh, who cares?
Yeah, the moral victory is a big thing with this team. And
it feels like it.
That's what we were just talking about with Mickey earlier about, you know, finishing 500 and the pride that it instills in this team. And you saw it with Atlanta last night. And
yeah,
he was the first to bring that up about, like, it does
That's
something.
That's kind of changed my perspective.
Yeah, I've tried to be fair about that, saying, like, I'm not a player. I'm not a coach. My life does not depend on that. My career does not depend on that. The way that it doesn't, like you said, for Atlanta, in their case, those dudes were playing for their coach's job.
For sure.
You know, and for some of the back end of the roster guys, their own job. So I've always respected it, but selling it to the general public as some big accomplishment and as something to rest your head on your pillow at night with a smile about. No, there is nothing to smile about a Jeff Fisher record.
Yeah.
You know, like, no, I don't want to be mediocre. I don't want to be middle of the pack, but I understand from a perspective of we get paid a lot of money to do this and we take pride in playing the game that we do play.
By the way, for the Cowboys, Jerry talked a lot about the anomaly that was the last game and the lack of defensive stats. To put that in perspective, the Cowboys ran 87 offensive plays on Christmas Day. That was the most in a non-overtime game this century.
Wow.
And so you might be like, hey, they still didn't make the playoffs. Fair enough!
Yeah.
But I'm still telling you information. Brandon Aubrey had 12 points on Thursday to reach 150 points scored for the year.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
the first player, hell yeah, in NFL history to tally 150-plus points in each of his first three seasons. He already has the second most 150-plus points in NFL history, trailing only Steven Gostkowski. So, good for you.
That's my GOAT.
Agreed. All right, you want Commanders or the Giants?
I don't want either of them. They stink.
If you had to pick one.
If I had to pick one, I would say Giants.
Oh. Were you super?
Yeah, I was in his ear saying GM.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I was going to go Commanders, but I was like, for some reason, Jacob wants to hear Giants conversation.
Talk about Jackson Dart.
All right. So while, you know what? Okay, I will.
Oh, I get it, because Jacob looks like him.
Jackson Dart completed more than 70% of his passes and ran for 2 scores in a very efficient game. He led the Giants with 2 straight TD drives and a field goal before halftime, looking sharp in the process, although he did not attempt a pass of more than 20-plus yards.
Oh.
So take that for whatever you will. Now, a lot of Giants fans were upset that they won the game, at least on social media. I know that's not always a real life reflection of how people feel, but it was important for them. It ended a 9-game losing streak and 13 straight losses on the road. 13 straight losses on the road before that win. So good job. And congratulations to Wandale Robinson. He topped 1,000 receiving yards for the first time in his career. 11 catches, 113 yards. I also believe he is 8 catches away from 100 catches for the season. And believe it or not, that is really rarefied air for the Giants. We will talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. And now, whether you want it or not, Jacory Kroski Merritt and
Bill,
the Commanders, he reached a top speed of 21.62 miles per hour on his 72-yard TD run. And on the defensive side, Jazon Newton had 3 sacks and 8 quarterback pressures for the Commanders as the rest of the NFC East tries to fire themselves up in a season that's been over for, let's be honest, some time. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will chat with the fellows from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
For Miami.
Oh my goodness.
Allende's onside. Allende's in. Adebe chasing. Allende pulls him off. Allende scores!
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. That was the sweet-ass soccer highlight that I asked Jacob to get because I was going to let you know. I know it's kind of fallen to the wayside. But at the halfway point of the random selection draw for FIFA World Cup tickets, they've already had 150 million ticket requests.
Jeez.
That is 3.4 times as many as all World Cups since 1930 combined in terms of people who've been to the games. So the demand is already higher than the previous World Cups. But this is
more. You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms. For more,
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
More than three times more than the number of people that have been to all of the World Cups.
That is nuts, bro.
So, needless to say, people are not going to get tickets that want them.
Plenty of people are going to be left at the altar.
Yes, indeed. Have you ever been to a wedding where you thought it was a potential altar leaving situation?
More so the if there's anybody that would like to see that these couples should not be married.
I don't think I've ever been to a wedding where they've even
they objected.
Oh no, I thought it was it was basically like you started to stare at the people around you, like you would look like we were in the back and I kind of looked to my left thinking this could happen from her side, it surely could happen from the side I'm on, you know, the groom's side. So yeah, it was. I've been in a few of those actually.
So
where it was really down to the end, where it could have gone either way.
I would love to talk to somebody who's been the objector voice.
Okay.
At a wedding, like you get all dressed up.
Yes.
And you go through all the annoyances of getting to the wedding, and all like did you know the whole time? Was it kind of a coin flip? Did you see something when you walked in that said, oh, no, that's a non-starter?
That guy's unmoved by her dress. I'm objecting.
Yeah, he's not crying.
Or
he's crying too much.
I always thought it was family members. That they felt like that their daughter or son wasn't making a good decision.
Yeah.
And somebody in the family was going to stand up. That's who I always look at first.
Yeah, but to me, it's like, more often than not, the bride side is probably footing the bill.
Sure.
I would say by and large.
Yeah.
So it's like, why as the dad would you have foot the bill and put this whole thing together only to stand up and say,
so
no, let's nuke
this? Do you think the dad would be pissed at everybody else?
They're
like, I already paid for this.
Yes.
Could be a stepdad situation.
Yeah, there could be a
family.
Yeah.
You know, like if you
a get, non-paying member,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, you get somebody involved. Yes. You get somebody that's involved. That is not a paying member, as you say, but is a family member to the point like, I don't want to see her or him ruining his life with this.
Yeah.
You know? And maybe, I think you owe it to your friend, if you have somebody getting married, to ask them that question. Do you really want to do this? Do you really want to go through this? And I mean, I've done it a bunch.
Me too.
I've asked people a bunch. I've said, listen, I've got a credit card that has a lot of cash on it. If you want to, we can get the hell out of here right now.
We can run away together.
Now that's best man.
Well, not be, not a runaway together. But no, just I know. Get the hell out of this situation. And most times they've looked at me and said, "No, Brian, we're going through this one."
Most times.
The last one, my godson Jack Brissett. I mean, his mom.
You
and dad.
You just went to his wedding a few months ago.
I asked him as his godfather. I said, "Are we okay with this? Are you totally okay with this?" He says, "Absolutely, I am. Absolutely, I am. I appreciate you asking, though." But I think you owe it to a definite definition of a true friend is one that will ask you that question. And if they say yes, then you have to honor that. You have to honor that. You have to honor that. But as a friend, you did your part to make sure that they were absolutely ready to get married.
So I've always wanted to be at a wedding where this occurred. My wife knew that so much that she said she contemplated getting one of our friends or hiring somebody. And I was like, that would have been awesome. Because you think about it, over the span of your life,
celebrating as they're saying, "No, he sucks."
Like you go to so many weddings, you're always going to remember the one where they're like, "Oh my God." And then this dude stood up and professed his love for that girl.
There's always the movies where they walk in.
Yeah.
You know, they walk in.
Wait.
They're all disheveled and walk in and then it falls apart. The fun weddings I remember are the ones where, like, the guy's like, "Okay, you guys remember Josh Ellis that worked at DallasCowboys.com?
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah. All right. Josh Ellis was like violently drunk during Rob Phillips' wedding. And he was in the wedding.
So
you had a stumbling guy going down the aisle at this time, which was absolutely funny. Another one is when the bridesmaids take a dive because they're too hot in their dresses, and you're like in a Louisiana wedding with a church with no AC,
and they
get too hot, and then they just pass out, they faint up there. There's all kinds of ones that I've been a part of where like the literally passing cups of water from down the line to gals so they don't pass out over there.
Wow!
But like Josh Ellis was so drunk. It was hilarious to watch him walk down there, and the poor girl was holding him up, like when he was coming back. Like she was holding him up as he's walking down the aisle. And Josh and I didn't like each other. And so Josh, it's like I'm a common thread. Nobody really likes me. But the thing is, Josh and I got to the point where I'm like, I go, "Let's see how much drunker I could get Josh at this wedding."
Oh, no.
So I went up to the bar, basically open bar, but tipped the bartender. So I got two bigger glasses. And Josh and I just sat there and started drinking, drink for drink for drink for drink. And to the point where they had to walk him out of there. And I just kind of looked at everybody, and like people are going, "You did that on purpose." And I go, "You're damn right." I wanted to see him to make an absolute ass out of himself.
It worked.
So I'm enjoying this very much. If I can throw in a story as well, I was the best man in a wedding. And what's one of the things? You're like, "Don't lose the ring.
Don't lose the ring.
Mm. Don't lose the ring." Yeah. So I hand the ring over on the other side. Because you get angled at times, and I couldn't really see what was going on. It was taking forever on the other side. And I was like, "What the crap in hell is going on?" And so we finish up the ceremony, normal and all this, walk out. And then in the foyer, the flower girl is dancing around, and she goes, "They used my ring, they used it." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" Found out really quickly that the maid of honor forgot the groom's ring, and so they had to improvise, and they took a ring from like the flower girl to use it. And I thought, "All right, nothing else. Advantage, best man.
Tiny female ring trying to get on some sausage fingers.
Yeah,
it's tough.
If there's real quick one thing I would eliminate from a wedding, it would be speeches.
Yes.
Yeah."
I feel so uncomfortable.
Really?
Yes.
That's my favorite. I want the discomfort. No. I either want, like, "Hey, he hit it out the park, and I can't wait to go up to him and say, 'Dude, freaking legendary.'"
Do a better job.
Or you sit there and soak
in.
Do a better job then of taking the responsibility and prepare for it in the right way.
Yes.
But if you're getting up there and going, "Great gal, and yeah, like a sister, and I don't have time for you."
Yeah.
I really don't have time. They should eliminate speeches at a wedding. Nobody completely does it the right way.
I got to see somebody have a nervous breakdown in his speech when their brother was getting married. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I was just at the wedding.
So nervous.
Yeah. Well, no, because he reflected on his life in that moment. Yeah. He goes, he's getting married and they're doing big things.
Exactly.
And I'm a nobody.
I still live at home with my parents.
Yeah. And I'm pity like, party.
What's happening?
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. We definitely went off script, I assume, for that. And
reality, hit him in the face.
What do you guys got coming up? Do you think Trayvon Diggs will come up at all on your show?
I believe Trayvon
Diggs. Diggs brothers on air today.
that's a show right there.
Hey, brother, I'm sorry about your situation. Hey, brother, sorry about your situation. Yeah.
Right out of the gates, pure gold as always, by the way. Thanks so much for asking, Hagee. Right out of the gates, how will you remember Trayvon Diggs and his time here with the Cowboys? We have Mark Schlereth at 4:40. It is a TD Tuesday, best touchdowns from the football weekend, and Ari Temkin live at the Orange Bowl, 6 o'clock.
All right, roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say goodnight, Trayvon.
Good night, Trayvon.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.